Hello and welcome to Lexitecture, a podcast about word origins and histories. My name is Ryan, and in each episode, my friend Amy and I bring a new pair of words to share their stories with each other and you. You can find our past episodes and the occasional blog post on our website at lexitecture.com. Follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook at Lexitecture. And if you really like what we do, you can support the show at patreon.com/lexitecture. Today's episode, Align, Malign, Benign. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the long-awaited, way overdue, first episode of 2023. You're stuck with just me today, but you haven't had either of us for forever. So here we are. I wanted to start off with a quick story, which may seem unrelated, but I'm hoping will make sense in the end. So when I was in grade 12, 100,000 years ago, I was in a physics class, and our final assignment for this class was to build a car powered by elastic bands, and we used CDs for wheels, and we had the whole thing done up. It was great. It was a group project. There were three of us, and we were really happy with it. And we pulled it back to, you know, about 6 inches, 15 centimeters behind the starting line, and we let it go in the hopes of seeing it squeal off into the middle distance across the finish line to a blaze of glory, etc. What happened instead was it immediately spun around almost a full 180 degrees and then took off away from the start line, having not crossed it, left the classroom into the hallway of the school, at which point the wheels just fell off completely. I did pass that class, but it was by some miracle and not by much. So, yeah, that was great. So that story is an analogy to how my plans have gone to start 2023 with the newly revived regular bi-weekly schedule for episodes. So apologies for that, because obviously that has not worked out. I have been dealing with a fairly lingering case of laryngitis. This is as good as my voice has sounded or felt since before Christmas, and it was just not reliably well enough for long enough to actually do a regular episode. The other thing is just life. We got out of the plague apocalypse. And when we started this podcast, I was in school, which the stress and the work of law school, it's still school, still affords you a fair bit of flexibility in your schedules. And it was a lot easier to find time sort of in the middle of the day when time zones would align and Amy and I could record an episode together. And then when I started sort of rejoining the workforce post-school, that became a lot more difficult. So it just got harder to do. And so that life just tends to get in the way. So I will say I would really like to get back to something approximating a regular schedule, hopefully bi-weekly. But in the early days of the podcast, we were doing them weekly, and it was a lot, even at the time. And I got to the point where I kind of realized if I try to hold to this weekly schedule, what's probably going to happen is we're just going to burn out and it's going to stop being fun. And it's just the project is just kind of going to fizzle out and die. And I didn't really want that. So I thought it's better to do it less frequently, but for longer. And as a result, we've been doing it for coming up on 5 years pretty soon, which is crazy. And I got to meet a whole bunch of people, and we've got this little community going, which is great. So I think you'll agree that it was better to do it bi-weekly than not at all. And I think this is another phase, not to say that we're going to never go back to it, but just we're both kind of taking the approach of if we have to do it a little bit less frequently in order to keep it going and keep it sustainable, that's probably preferable than just letting it go, because neither of us really have any interest in letting it go. So that's sort of where we're at scheduling wise. So apologies for the delays. No promises that there won't be more, but we will try to get back to a more regular thing, scheduled regular intervals between episodes. On the note of enjoying it and things that we do related to the podcast that we do enjoy, the second bit of business I have to attend to before I actually get into today's mini solo episode, is that Amy and I are going to be talking at an online conference called LingCom 2023. This is a conference exclusively online, and it's all about the communication of linguistics to a broader audience. And this time around, Amy and I have been invited to be on a panel for a session called Podcasting 101. And we've had our initial meeting this morning with our fellow panelists, who are all lovely people, talking about what we're going to be chatting about in our 45-ish minute session. And I'm really excited for what we're going to get down to and our experiences in the world of podcasting, and particularly podcasting about linguistics. Our panel consists of, in addition to Amy and I, one hopefully familiar voice to some of you who listened to our 100th episode or who hopefully listened to her podcast. It's Sadie Ryan, who is another Scot. She's a lecturer in Glasgow. She's the host of Accentricity, and she contributed a segment for our 100th episode. Another panelist is J.P.B. Gerald, who is, as I found out today, a fellow former English teacher in Korea, which is pretty great. And he hosts Unstandardized English, which explores the connection and intersection between language and oppression and in various sort of at various levels and in different contexts. And the panel is going to be moderated by Kevin Lilly, who is a linguist from Ohio State University, who, in addition to being an all-around great guy from all I can tell, is interested in phonology, phonetics, and psycholinguistics, the famous three Ps. So, if you're listening to this pretty much as soon as it comes out, you've still got time. The session is on February 6th. We're actually the first panel session following the opening plenary session, which is from Gretchen McCulloch, who is, as many of you probably know, internet linguist. She hosts Lingthusiasm and is the author of Because Internet. So that's going to be great. And you can find the full schedule and stuff on the website for the LingCom, which is lingcom.org, lingcomm.org/conference. And the conference runs February 6th to 9th-ish. It's sort of, because it's online, whether it's the 9th or 10th depends on where you are in the world. But roughly that time, if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone like me, our session will be at 4 p.m. on Monday, February 6th. I don't know if they're being recorded and archived anywhere. I'm not sure about that, but I'll try to find out. And if there is a way to listen to it after the fact, I'll be sure to let you know. But if you're listening to this in time, feel free to check it out and maybe sign up and come and stop by and join us. Immediately after our session is Podcasting 201, which is a panel including the glorious, our favorites in the whole world, Mark and Avon from the Endless Knot podcast, along with some others. So Amy and I are definitely going to be attending that one as listeners/viewers as well. So that wraps up the preliminary business for the day. Hopefully you guys can come join us at LingCom, and otherwise, let's just, now that we've taken care of business, let's word. So the idea for this episode comes from a relatively long-time listener, Liz, who wrote in with a question about the words align, malign, and benign, and wondering if and how these might be connected etymologically or otherwise. It sort of relates to a solo episode I did back in episode 93, where I talked about the somewhat surprising relationship between quit, quite, and quiet. And so if those three words can have as close ties and links together as they do, it makes sense to at least wonder and explore about the connection maybe between align, benign, and malign. Now, if I told you that only two of these three were at all linked in their etymologies, and spoiler alert, that's exactly what I'm about to tell you, I can't help but think that most people would probably default to an assumption that align and malign were the two that were connected. There's only one letter difference, after all. However, as you may have guessed from this somewhat artificial setup, the real connection is actually between malign and benign, with align being left all alone. So we're going to start with that one. We'll start with the odd one out. The word align comes to English from French and is pretty simple. Basically, it's a simple compound of the A prefix, meaning to, which is sometimes formed as AD, think advance or adventure, and the French word for line, which is ligne, L-I-G-N-E. And it's almost always just meant to arrange in a straight line, as it does now, in various transitive and intransitive ways. However, as is often the case, the reason I have to say almost always is kind of weird and sort of interesting, I think. And it's the OED has a single source from 1425 with two examples of the earliest written English sense of a line. And this source is a book from... And this source is a book from 1425 by Edward II, Duke of York, called Master of Game. This is a book whose foreword describes it as, quote, "not only of interest to the sportsman, but also to the naturalist because of its quaint accounts of the nature of the various animals, to the philologist because of the old English hunting terms and the excellent translations of the chapters taken from the French, and to the lover of art because of the beautiful illustrations, with all their detail of costume, of hunting accoutrements, and of ceremonies of la grande vénérie, which are here reproduced in facsimile from one of the best extant French manuscripts of the early 15th century." That foreword was written by none other than Theodore Roosevelt, and it's from the 1904 translated edition, translated from the Middle French, translated from the Middle English. And I flipped up there because the book itself is mostly a translation of an earlier French work by Gaston de Foix called Livre de Chasse. That was written in the last half of the 14th century. And then Edward added five original chapters to his basically just verbatim translation of the original book. So I get into all this because I'm a nerd who finds this kind of nonsense weirdly interesting and fascinating. But it's also, I think, really useful because it helps nail down when we talk about how difficult it is to really hammer out when words showed up into English. English is not a language with an academy deciding, okay, this year we're going to add these words. It's not like how, you know, dictionary.com and Webster's Dictionary each year have, here's the new additions to the dictionary or the OED. Because adding words to the dictionary, as we all know, is not the same as the words coming into the language. And so, especially at this time in history where French and English were all just sort of getting really muddied together, it's really hard to nail down any of this stuff. So in this particular case, I don't know. There's probably a way to tell. There's definitely a way to tell, to compare the two books and find out which chapters were added by Edward and which ones were from Gaston de Foix's original book. I don't know which chapters those are, so I don't know whether this earliest sense of a line was an original addition by Edward or whether it was him translating the French, a French use of a line, a ligne, from Gaston de Foix. I just don't know. Anyway, long story short, too late. This use of a line meant, as the OED puts it, of a male animal to copulate with a female. So there's that. I bet none of you even guessed that, unless you already knew, in which case you didn't guess it, you knew. But yeah, so that's, anyway, apart from that, it's always meant to arrange in a line. And so we'll stick with it's basically always meant to arrange in a line. Moving on, and we get to malign and benign. So it's maybe counterintuitive that these two are very closely related, and they're basically just opposites. I was thinking about it for a bit, and it struck me that one of the reasons that it struck me as weird that these are opposites and that they're related is that now we basically only think of benign as an adjective, and whereas malign is almost always used as a verb. You can malign something. If you want an adjectival form of that, you usually see malignant. However, the OED has malign being used as an adjective and noun, weirdly, about 75 years earlier than as a verb. Now, the earliest citations for malign and benign in the OED date from 1350 and 1320, respectively, and as we've seen with a line, the dating of French words coming into English at this time in history is really, really, really difficult because loads of people just spoke French. So how do we tell when a French loanword stopped being a French word spoken by a Brit in Britain, and started being an English word taken from the French, being spoken in English by a Brit in Britain at a time when everyone else was still often speaking French. It's very confusing and very murky. And I'm certainly not the one to make that decision. So it's hard to tell. And this is why Amy and I will often be like, well, they're 50 years apart, but it's the 1300s, so it's a coin toss. Who knows? But in terms of their etymology, malign has the prefix mal that comes from the classical Latin malus, which means evil. So think malevolent or malicious, that kind of thing. Whereas benign's prefix is from the Latin bene, meaning good. And think in English, benevolent, beneficial, that kind of thing. And the suffix to both is actually from the Latin gignere, G-I-G-N-E-R-E, meaning to beget or produce. And this is the same ultimate root as words like genesis or generation. So we've got benign, basically of good birth, born good, and malign, being of an evil nature, born of an evil nature, or having the nature of evil, having the inherent nature of evil. And for anyone wondering, as I was, yes, 100% for a while, benignant was totally an English word as an opposite to malignant. And although in a lot of cases it's hard to tell, in this case, it's pretty obvious that malignant was indeed the first one, because that dates back in the OED to the mid-1500s, whereas benignant doesn't show up until around 1780. So anyway, there we have it. Align, malign, and benign. Malign and benign are very closely related. Align, not related at all. So Liz, there's your answer. And that's pretty much all I've got for today. But there we have it. Apologies again for the delay. If you're listening to this as soon as it comes out, do check out Lingcom. At least just take a look at what's on offer and maybe sign up to drop in on our podcasting 101 session and check out everything else that's happening on the conference. And we will talk to you again soon, and like an actual soon, for a long overdue regular transatlantic me and Amy episode. In the meantime, have fun, take care, word away, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye. And that's it for another episode of Lexitecture. To get in touch with us about something you heard in this episode, you can email us at words@lexitecture.com. You can also follow along and talk to us at Lexitecture on Facebook and Twitter, and at Lexitecture Podcast on Instagram. For back episodes and the occasional blog post, us at lexitecture.com. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. Ha ha ha!